Galatians 5, verse 25 to 6, verse 10. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instructions in the word should share all good things with their instructors. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, whatever sows to please their flesh. From the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Thank you very much, Shannon. Didn't Jonathan and Shannon, those look very fresh this morning, even though they're after having a 24-hour sleepover over the weekend. Pretty amazing. You know what a sleepover is? It should really be called a wakeover. Not much sleeping done. You're all very welcome here again this morning, and thank you for coming out. And this morning we're going to continue in Galatians, and that reading that Shannon just gave us there from chapter 5, verse 25. On and then to chapter 6, down to verse 10. Lord, just pray that you would help us, Lord, as we open your word. Lord, guide our thoughts. Speak to our hearts, Lord, we pray, through your precious word. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, I wasn't here, but Trevor was here, and I believe he spoke to us considering the life of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And Paul is speaking, remember, to believers here. He says, you as believers were called to be free, but not to let that freedom from the penalty of sin turn to indulging in sin. We are in a war, the flesh via the Spirit. Paul says that we need to walk by the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit and not return to our sinful ways, those acts of the flesh that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. No, we are to portray what is called the fruit of the Spirit, as listed in verses 22 to 23. And then here at the end of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, Paul says, thinking about all that, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Or as another translation says, let us walk with the Spirit. When we become a believer, it is by the Holy Spirit entering our lives and living within us. Our body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. That is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And that verse goes on to say, He lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you when you become a believer. When we live by the Spirit, then we ought to also keep in step or walk with the Spirit. We cannot possibly keep in step or walk with the Spirit if we don't have the Holy Spirit living in us. Thus, walking in the Spirit is Spirit-enabled. It would be impossible without the Spirit. So notice the order here. Paul writes, since we live by the Spirit, we have new life, let us walk with the Spirit, new desires. The Spirit must live in us before we can walk or keep in step with the Spirit. I trust this morning that each one of you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that you have the Holy Spirit living within you. If you haven't trusted in the Lord as your Saviour, let me urge you today to give your life to Christ, to receive the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, whom Christ gives you at the moment you trust in him. I urge you this morning. This book of Galatians is written to believers, to Christians, and what is written in this book applies to us here this morning as believers. The Lord is saying to us as Christians and followers of the Lord Jesus through the Spirit-inspired words written by the Apostle Paul, since we live by the Spirit, let us walk with the Spirit. Very practical. From Galatians 5:26 and on into Galatians chapter 6 and the first 10 verses, Paul gets down to the practical things, starting off with verse 26, let's not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And he includes himself here also. He says, let us not become conceited. It can happen to anyone. Let us not be proud or ambitious in ourselves. Don't become boastful in your abilities or stir up envy in one another. Envy leads to disunity and strife, not to unity and harmony. In the New Testament, we come across key phrases like one another when referring to Christians. We often have heard the phrase, love one another, at least a dozen times in the New Testament. And pray for one another, James tells us. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians tells us. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves, Romans 12:10. And offer hospitality to one another, 1 Peter. And here in Galatians chapter 6, Paul adds another one another. That's a bit of a tongue twister. He says, bear one another's burdens in verse 2. The believer must consider others and how to minister to them. Here in Galatians 6, 1-10, Paul describes two important ministries we should share with one another. One, bearing burdens. Two, sharing blessings. So let's look at these ministries as we consider people who live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. So bearing burdens. Okay, we've been seeing in Galatians this circumcision group, these Judaizers, who were infiltrating the Galatian churches with their false teachings, were trying to add to the gospel. These people were not interested in bearing burdens, but in adding burdens. This was like the Pharisees that Jesus spoke out against. Jesus said of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. These people were always stricter on others than they were on themselves. But the believer demands more of himself than he does of others, that he might be able to help others to bear their burdens. In verse 1, here Paul describes, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently, dealing with an erring brother or sister. The Spirit-led believer would seek to restore the person in love. The word restore here in verse 1 means to put something in order and to restore it back to its former condition. It's kind of a medical term. It's used of mending a broken bone or putting a dislocated joint back into place. Paul says that when somebody is overtaken by a sin, someone is caught in a sin, there is something broken that needs to be restored. There is something dislocated that needs to be reset. The question is, will it happen? Will the person be willing? What if they don't recognize their sin? But if they do, then something wonderful can happen. There can be restoration. The problem with the job of restoration is often neglected in the church. We always have a tendency to ignore the sin and say to ourselves, that's not my business, it's their problem, not mine. Or we tend to react too harshly to one who has sinned, is the other side of the coin. There's a balance between these two that can be found. Note how it is done again in verse 1, that word, gently. Restoration is done with a spirit of gentleness. Note the warning at the end of verse 1, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Any of us could be in the same place as they are. We could be caught in a sin. We aren't perfect. We're still human. We need to guard against the temptation of pride. We need to be gentle. Oh, that would never happen to me sort of attitude will get you in trouble. Continuing on in verse 2, where Paul instructs us to bear or carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Notice that he doesn't say, expect others to bear your burdens. No, he doesn't say that, does he? He says, bear one another's burdens. Or we could say, oh, the elders or the pastor should bear our burdens. No, that would be focusing on ourselves. Who's going to come and minister to me sort of mentality, rather than what can I do to minister to my brothers and sisters that I love and care for? It says, bear each other's burdens. Minister to one another. It's a ministry we can all of us can be involved in, each and every one of us. Bear one another's burdens. Verse 2 says, carry on, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? John 13, 34 and 35, where Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is the law of Christ. These are the words of Jesus. Loving one another, bearing one another's burdens, caring for one another. The legalists that had infiltrated the Galatian churches, the circumcision group, the Judaizers, they wanted people to practice the Jewish customs that they'd been set free from in Christ. They wanted them to be circumcised, to eat certain food, abstain from other food, observe holy days, do this, do that. But Paul says, do not heap more burdens on people. Carry one another's burdens. What will keep us from carrying one another's burdens? Paul deals with that in verse 3. He writes, if anyone thinks you are something when you are not, they deceive themselves. Here we have that attitude of pride. This will keep us from bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. Pride, self-reliance, self-exaltation, basically self. Pride will keep us from ministering to one another as we should. Maybe we look down our nose on them when we think we're something when we're not and deceive ourselves. People who are proud refuse to give help, and also they refuse to receive help, which stifles burden bearing. It's not that we're nothing in God's eyes, because we are valuable to him. We're made in the image of God, and as believers we are part of the family of God whom he loves. But we are to consider ourselves nothing in comparison to the needs and to the burdens of others. In humility, value others above yourselves, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says. And that verse goes on to say, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. What happens when we don't value others above yourself? Back to the end of Galatians 6, verse 3, we deceive ourselves. Pride is deceiving, may feign. To be proud is to be blind to the needs of others. You won't even see their burdens. You'll be too caught up with your own. We don't like being deceived, do we? There are all these scams going around now that want you to disclose your personal details, aren't there? Bogus emails, texts, phone calls, fraud, people asking for all sorts of things to deceive you. We don't like being deceived, yet pride is deceiving, and we are all susceptible to being proud. Be careful of self-deception and the sin of pride. Look at the attitude we are supposed to have here in Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Test your actions in the light of God's will and not comparing them to someone else's work. Don't be comparing yourself to others. I'm better than so-and-so kind of attitude. The Christian life isn't a place for competition in the work of God. It is God who must get all the glory, not you or I. Don't make others look bad just to make yourself look good. Don't be arrogant. We can all be proud and sinful. Let's be building up others' ministry than carrying on each other's burdens. So that's bearing burdens. Secondly then, in verses 6 to 10, Paul looks at sharing blessings. It's lovely to share blessings, isn't it? And as we started out this morning, we looked at a number of one another phrases in the New Testament. Love one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens. And in verse 6, we have a word here called share, which is another important word in the Christian life. Right from the early church, this was an important mark of Christian life, both individually and as a body of believers, to share. Here in these words, Paul is saying, we reap what we sow. Where we sow will determine what we reap. Sow to please the flesh, or sow to please the spirit. Reap two very different things. Paul starts in verse 6 to say, those who are taught in the word should share with those who teach the word. The instructed should share all good things with the instructor. Support those who feed you spiritually. When we call our new pastor, we will need to support him. As a church, Westside supports missionaries that proclaim God's word both here in Ireland and also in other countries. We are a church that have committed ourselves to supporting a certain number of people who depend on God's people so that they can instruct and spread and teach the word of God. And you, in your giving, collectively, you support that as we give as a church. Even down there at the bottom, we can have our focus on missions on one of those new notice boards, and you can see all the different missionaries that we support. Have a look at that when you're having your coffee afterwards. Focus on missions, right down there in the corner. And you can see the missionaries that we support annually. This sowing and reaping has more to do with financial, more than to do with financial giving, though, even though that's part of it. It's the principle of the Christian life. You get out of things what you put into them. A farmer sows so they can reap a harvest. If they sow wheat, what do they expect to grow? And reap wheat. Isn't that right? If you sow to the flesh, then you will reap destruction, God's word says here in verse 8. But if you sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit you will reap eternal life. Jesus says this in Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart represents the hiddenmost, inmost part of ourselves, and the treasure represents whatever is of most value in our lives, and that which gives us security, both for now and for the future. Our heart is our values, the source of the choices we make. What is important to us? What is our treasure? What are we sowing to? A man reaps what he sows. What kind of movies do I watch? What kind of books do I read? What programs do I view on TV? What music do I listen to? Computer programmers have a phrase called GIGO. You heard of it? Garbage in, garbage out. Poor quality input leads to poor quality output. The quality of output is determined by the quality of the input. And the Bible says the exact same thing here. You reap what you sow. Sowing and reaping isn't just about financial giving. It's as much about what you do with your time and your talents. Verse 9, Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. Paul is talking about how to live the Christian life. In verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. Self-deception. God cannot be mocked. God is not fooled. God is not outwitted. He seeks for us. He seeks us for what we are. He sees us for what we are. He sees the motives of our hearts. You know, our culture today mocks God. But here is the spiritual law. A man reaps what he sows. Verse 7. When a farmer sows, they don't have an immediate crop, do they? They have to have patience. They wait for the reaping time, for the harvest to be ready. We live in an age of the instant, don't we? With kids now, if you take a picture on your phone, they want to see it now, instantly. When we were kids, it was a little different, wasn't it? They had to send off those negatives and get them printed, and then what you got back was what you had to put up with. Whereas now you can just, delete it because I don't like it. We'll take another one, especially selfies, isn't it? Yes, the day of the instant, but the farmer knows that you have to wait for the harvest. You have to wait to reap what you sow. In verse 10 then, as we conclude, Paul says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Who do we do good to? Everyone, but especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ. When do we do good? As we have opportunity. And we all get opportunities if we keep our eyes open and have the willingness to do good. So to please the Spirit, not only by words, but also by works. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us about our salvation. For it is by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And then in the following verse, in verse 10, we read, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Faith and salvation come first, then followed by good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. We've been considering in these verses the theme of doing good, restoration, restoring gently someone caught in a sin, carrying one another's burdens, sharing with those who teach, sowing to the Spirit instead of to the flesh. So many ways to do good as a believer. You notice the final few words in verse 10. The family of believers. Or as another translation puts it, the household of faith. We are all children in the family, in the household. And as kids growing up, there were tasks to be done in our household when I was young. I remember we had a rota of who did things like emptying the dishwasher, or laying the table, or clearing up after an evening meal. There was a rota. There were tasks to be done in our family. A list of tasks that needed to be done in the household. And it's no different in the household of faith. There is good to be done, tasks to do. We are to be grateful to all here in Westside who help so much in doing good, doing the tasks that need to be done. Just look at your February bulletin. Look at all the names of people doing so many different tasks. I counted it up the other day. There's 30 names down there doing tasks right down through the month. We praise God for that. And maybe you're here this morning and maybe you'd like to become more involved in the life of the church and get involved in the tasks. Well, come to one of the elders and we'd love to include you in some of the ministries of the church if you're willing. But yeah, the household of believers, the family of believers, the household of faith. What are you sowing for today? To please the flesh and reap destruction, or to please the Spirit and from the Spirit receive eternal life? What you sow, you shall reap. A person reaps what they sow. Do not become weary in doing good, for at the right time we will reap a harvest. If we do not, do what? If we do not give up. As the old saying goes, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, help us as we live in the Spirit to keep in step with the Spirit. Help us in our daily living to watch out for one another, to carry one another's burdens. Help us to be careful how we view ourselves and to test our own actions and not to be comparing ourselves to others. Pray that we might sow to please the Spirit and not the flesh. Help us not to become weary in doing good and not to give up. Help us to do good to all people, especially to those who are in your family, the children of God. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our closing song is number 463 in the book, so we'll have it up on the screen. The words are beautiful. They say, may the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. And that's the Holy Spirit living within us, controlling all I do and say.